Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's now Wednesday night. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor, it's a privilege to come before the people of God, to be used by God, for us to come together and explore the Word of God together. This is no accident, and I pray that God have His way with the lesson on tonight. I pray that everyone had a great week. And as we enter our first lesson in the last month of the year, December, that we put our hearts and mind towards all that God is doing in our lives. The year of 2018 is about to close, and 2019 will open up, and it should be our desire to be better than we were. Should be our goal. As always, I'll give the title of the lesson, and it's coming from the Psalm 23. And I know that that's a very familiar psalm to almost everyone. It's a psalm that we learn about when we're young. But I hope as we look at it tonight that our eyes will be open even more and understanding that Jesus is our shepherd. And we must learn to become sheep. The title of our lesson is Allow Jesus to Lead and You Follow. At this time, we're going to play a song, and I found a song by Yolanda Adams, and it's called The Good Shepherd. So I believe that it's appropriate for our lesson on tonight. Listen to the words and be blessed. We're going to come back and go to the throne of grace in prayer, and then we're going to explore the Word of God together. Listen to the words and the message in the song, which is titled The Good Shepherd. Yolanda Adams, the title of the song is The Good Shepherd. I thought it was appropriate for our program on tonight. Now it's time to go to Throne of Grace in prayer, and if anyone would like to accept this opportunity to pray at this time, you may press the one button on your phone and I'll open up the mic. God is extending an opportunity. And if you would like to pray, press the one button. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. You have allowed us to come together to explore your word. Lord, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity to go before your people, dear God. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, I'm asking that you allow your spirit to dwell among us tonight, dear God, and that he will lead us and guide us into righteousness and truth, that he will take the words that come out of my mouth and give each listener illumination and revelation, dear God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you allow us to take time from our schedule and come together on Wednesday night to honor and to give you praise because you're worthy for us to take a little time to learn a little more about you. Lord, we realize that you inspired the word. You created the word of God, and it's not necessary for you because you are the living word, but it's for us to live in this dark, evil world. Teach us, dear God, how to become sheep and allow you to be our shepherd because that's where our success lies. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every caller that takes time and come on, dear God, and come on not just one time but week after week. Lord, I know you honored and you're not going to let them keep coming, dear God, and not fill their cup. And as the Psalm 23 say, allow their cup to run it over. Lord, we're going to lean and depend on you because there's no other name besides the name of Jesus. Lord, we're going to just hold on to the confession of our faith, and we're going to have sincerity in our heart to want to do better. Lord, I'm leaning and depending on you. I'm looking to the hills which come at my help because all my help comes from the Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you with my whole heart. I praise you. Because you're worthy, dear God. And I'm giving glory because all glory is due you. Lord, I say thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, and thank God. So again, the title of our lesson tonight is Allow Jesus to Lead and You Follow. It's coming from Psalm 23. I know for many of you, you might be so familiar with Psalms 23 and maybe think there's nothing else you could learn about it or that you're very familiar with it. But all of the words of God, you know, when you go over it and you refresh yourself, there's always something new. So as I do the background, I want you to know that the book of Psalms was mainly written by King David, but the whole book of Psalms is not written by David alone. I'm not exactly sure, and I didn't look it up tonight, but I think there were five other writers in the book of Psalms besides David, but David wrote the majority of the book. You see, when David wrote the 23rd Psalm, he was describing the Lord as a shepherd. You see, he wrote it out of his own experience because he had spent many of his early years caring for sheep. You remember when the prophet Samuel went to Jesse's house, who was David's dad, and God sent him because he said the next king is going to come from out of Jesse's house. And all of the brothers in the house was tested with the anointing oil being poured on him. And he told Samuel he would know when it's the right one. And all of Jesse's boys was tested. None of them appeared to be the one that God had chose. And Samuel told Jesse, you must have somebody else, because none of these are the ones. And Jesse said, I got a little old boy named David. He's out in the field with the sheep. He said, David rather be with the sheep in the field than in the house. He said, but David ain't about too much. He's rugged and he smell like sheep and he's not that big and he's this and he's that. But Samuel told him, go get David. David came in. The prophet Samuel, well, he was a prophet in a sense, but he was a priest and all. And Samuel poured the oil on David. And the way the oil acted as it anointed, Samuel knew that this was the one. And he anointed David to be the next king. I'm talking about that David, y'all. He was out there with the sheep and had to be called in to be anointed for the job that God had for him to do. Hallelujah. You see, remember, the Bible was written by man. Matter of fact, it was 40 men from all walks of life, but it was inspired by God. You see, God inspired David to use an analogy of a sheep and a shepherd to write the 23rd Psalm. You see, God knew that David would be able to express, describe, and write a correct illustration of a relationship between a shepherd and his sheep in great detail. You know, God didn't choose the 40 men to write the Bible, but God knew what he wanted in it, and he used each one of the men that could bring the point across more clearly for us to understand the day. You see, God never asks us to do things that he know we're not able to accomplish or give us a job to do that we don't know anything about. See, God is like that. So with that being said, I got to ask you right now, what can God use you for? God created us, and he placed everything in us, and he knows everything about us, and he uses everything he created for his glory. So again, I say, what God can use you for? You see, Psalms 23 is the most read, quoted, memorized, and thought after passage in the Bible. You see, God used things in the natural that we are familiar with to explain the spiritual so that we can get a good understanding of what he wants to reveal to us. Just like he used analogies and he used parables and he used stories. What a mighty God we have. You see, here God is using an analogy of a shepherd and his sheep. You know, you got to know an analogy is a comparison of things of similarities. It shows likeness between people, places, and things. You see, the Bible refers to Jesus as a shepherd. And I want you to know the 23rd Psalm ain't the only time God is talking about his son as a shepherd, because he referred to Jesus as a shepherd before he was born. So I want to get it clear that Jesus is described as the shepherd in the Bible in many different facets and ways. But I wanted to let you know. So if I went back to the Old Testament and I went to the book of Micah, and Micah prophesied in the Old Testament about Jesus coming and becoming a shepherd. The verse in Micah, verse 4 of chapter 5 said, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the end of the earth. God gave that prophecy to Malachi to give the people hope of what was to come, that the Messiah would come and he would be a shepherd. And then I went to the New Testament, because I want y'all to know, you know, the 23rd ain't the only, you know, reference to shepherd. And in the New Testament, God, Jesus, is often described as a shepherd. You know, in the book, he's described as a shepherd in three different ways. You see, first, Jesus is described as a good shepherd. If you go to John 10 and 11, John 10 and 11, you will see that Jesus said, this is Jesus talking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. This scripture lets us know who our shepherd is and what he's willing to do for us. Second, Jesus is described as the great shepherd, and I needed Hebrews 13 and 20. Hebrews 13 and 20, and it says, may the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Come on, y'all. Third, he is described as the chief sheep. And I went to 1 Peter 5 and 4. And it says, and when the chief shepherd, talking about our Lord and Savior, shall appear, we shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So I wanted you to know that the Bible referenced Jesus as a shepherd. And I hope every time you read the 23rd Psalm or think about it, you can truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. You see, when we accepted Christ as our Lord, Savior, and Master, he became our shepherd, and we became his sheep. So with that being said for the background, let us go and explore the word of God that David wrote, that God inspired him to write, and let us try to really grasp what God is trying to reveal to us. So if we go to Psalms 23, and I'm going to read the first verse. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here we see David, who I explained earlier, is the writer of the psalm, was a shepherd. If you can truly say that the Lord is your shepherd, you must realize then that you are his sheep. There's no room for if, a but, or even I hope so. I hope I'm his sheep. I think I'm his sheep. But we would be able to say, as David said, the Lord is my shepherd. You see, when you make this statement, it's personal. The Lord is my. When we say these words, we are really saying that the Lord is our shepherd. And we can always depend on him. You see, if you truly believe that he's your shepherd, you got to really, really know that he is your provider, that he cares for you, that he's constantly, constantly watching over you, that he will preserve you. And he is your protector, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. and he has your best interests at heart. He will lead and guide you always in the right direction. If you truly believe those statements, then you could truly see Jesus as a shepherd and realize that you're a sheep. And you see, these words are in the present tense. The Lord is, not the Lord will be or was, but is yours forever. You see, no matter what state or position you're in the best of times or the worst of times, he is in control. Concerning all your needs, everything belongs to God. And he said, how much would a heavenly father do for his children that an earthly father who has a sin nature tried to do? Whatever you need, God got it. And he is your shepherd. And you have no need to want anything. Because if he promised it, he's going to provide it. There's a scripture in Philippians 2 and 13 say it is God that worketh in us to do and to will his good pleasures. God never intended it to all be on you. Because if you could have had the power, the strength to make all of these things happen, God could have saved his son. See, in verse 2 say, he making me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, not for your sake, but for his name's sake. You see, in this passage, green pastures here is not spoken in reference to food, because, you know, a sheep graze on grass, and you would have the impression that is that. But here in this patch, in this scripture, green pasture is not in reference to food, but peace. You see, a shepherd knows that a sheep need rest. So he have to, because the sheep is timid and scary and they're not that smart, and, you know, they can't think that fast, and they have no mechanism to protect themselves. You know, like a skunk could lift up his tail. A lion have a roar besides having large teeth. Come on now. The sheep is one of the only things that God created that doesn't have a mechanism to defend themselves. So a shepherd knows this. And he know they need rest, but he got to provide peace, because they'll be too jittery, He have to provide peace in a time of storm. And he is always working all things out for your good at all times and at all costs. You see, God truly knows where the greenest grass is, and he holds your peace in the palm of your hand, in the palm of his hands. Do you want peace today? Well, look to Jesus. You see, the world makes some grass look greener than others. But I come to tell you tonight, don't let the green grass fool you. Anything that seems too good to be true, it's usually a lie. Look around at the world. Come on, make this money, which produce greed, and you get money, and then you ain't got enough, and you need more money, and y'all know the drill. The world makes grass look greener, but don't let it fool you. You know, this easy money. Anything that seems too good to be true is usually a lie. You see, sheep will not lie down when they're hungry, or drink from fast-flowing streams when they're thirsty. They timid, y'all. They scare easily. They say, but a shepherd supply all of the sheep daily needs so that the sheep can rest. God is doing that, and yet we can't find rest. Let us allow God to lead, and we follow. You see, a sheep were taking dam up a stream so that the sheep could quench his thirst. And then he leads, because one thing you need to know, a sheep cannot be driven. You know how people have a herd and they be behind the herd driving them? A sheep can't be driven. They have to follow the lead. When a sheep hears the voice of the shepherd, he follows him. We must become as sheep, realizing that God knows the right path for us. Do you really trust him? The shepherd provides enough evidence for the sheep to trust him. When you hear God's voice, who has provided all of the evidence to let you know what he's working with, he always showed up when you had a need. He delivered the sick. He fed the hungry. He gave his son. He's loving on you daily. Evidence of who he is. So when you hear his voice, as a sheep would hear the shepherd voice, just follow him. You see, God speaks to us in his word. Have you heard the voice of God lately? You see, the path here in this scripture means an area that is well worn. You know, a path is a area where people often walk and trample upon. And you see, the path, he said he would lead you in the paths of righteousness. And a path is a well-worn area. You got to know that. Stop searching for things and stay in your lane. You got to learn to stay in your lane. Don't go chasing waterfalls, as that group TLC said, but stick to the rivers and the lakes that you used to. Because there's nothing new under the sun. In other words, when a sheep wander into a new path, they start to explore, which can lead them into trouble. And even when that happened and a sheep go astray, and a shepherd could have 100 sheep and he realized that one is gone, the shepherd would leave the 99 and go and get the one. And when he finds him, he picks him up and put him on him. He carries him back to the fold. Hallelujah. And then he rejoices. You see, we have to follow the path that Jesus has declared in his word and allow it to become our moral compass. Follow his word, which is his will, which would guarantee you that your soul will be restored, because God has extended his righteousness towards everyone that accept his son. God knew we could never be holy enough or righteous enough to achieve anything from him. That's why he sent his son. And because we need righteousness to be able to commune with him, he extended his righteousness towards us. Nobody could achieve enough righteousness to go before a holy God. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you read. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you give. I don't care how nice you are. You can't achieve it, because everyone falls short of the glory of God, and God's glory is his righteousness. The Bible say we all fall short of the glory, of the righteousness of God. And God has extended his righteousness towards us. What a mighty God we serve. And if we look at the fourth verse, it say, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. Let's understand something. Here, now, tonight. There is nothing you could do or say to eliminate debt. I'm going to tell you a little bit about debt. It has no respect to person. It doesn't even discriminate. It's not racial. Your strength or your coverage or your courage doesn't matter with debt. Your education, even your health. Oh, she was healthy. She wasn't sick. Or your wealth, how much money you have. You can't bribe it. You can't pay it and ask it to come back. None of that will work because you can't hold it back. Debt has the final word. It is inevitable. It's going to happen. Everyone that is born will die because of sin. When Adam and Eve sinned into the world, and it brought debt along with it. And you know, when you say, well, then Adam and Eve, you know, before they sinned, what they would have died. But you remember, I said, everyone that was born will die. Everyone. Everyone. And everything that God created. You see, even though Adam wasn't born of a woman, God created Adam. And Adam was made, and Eve was made from Adam. Because of their sin, they had to die, and everyone born thereafter have to die. Because Jesus is leading us and guiding us through the valley of the shadow of death and has promised to bring us safely on the other side, we should have no fear. If we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he has taken the sting out of debt. Because if you look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 55th verse says, oh, debt, where is thy sting? Jesus took the sting out of debt. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Jesus took us out of the grave. The grave can't hold us. Because when Jesus come back, the dead in Christ going to rise first, and those who are living is going to be taken up. They're going to have to give unto Jesus what is due to him. He took the sting out of death, and oh, grave, where's your victory? The grave can't hold you when Jesus come for you if you die before his return. You see, Jesus is coming back for his sheep. And in this verse, they talk about a rod. In this verse, it was a short piece of slender tree trunk and had a club head on the end. As a weapon, the sheep used it to protect, the shepherd used it to protect his sheep from danger. It was used to keep the sheep in line, and it is used to count and inspect the sheep. You see, the sheep had very, very, very thick wool, and the shepherd would take the rod and make a, you know, gap in that wool to see if there's any parasites and things that need to be taken off this sheep, or the sheep would surely die. You know, the shepherd was always inspecting the sheep to try to keep it as healthy as he could. But I want you to know the rod that is spoken of in this parable, not parable, but analogy, the rod represents the word of God. You see, God uses his power and his word to protect us from danger. Come on now. He disciplines us when we need it and searches our heart to determine what state we're in. See, the shepherd used to open up the wool, and if there was parasites, he would remove it. And you know how we tell God, ask God to circumcise our heart daily and take away things that are not necessary or keeping us from being the best that we can be. You see, when God chose the analogy of a shepherd and a sheep, he knew what he was doing. You see, the staff is used to guide the sheep in the right direction because, remember, a sheep cannot lead but follow. When a sheep has fallen, the staff is used to lift him up and carry him out of dangerous situations to safety. Also, the staff is used to draw the sheep together into intimate relationship. You know, the staff is holding it together. The staff represents God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You see, the Spirit of God will guide you in the right direction, pick you up when you have fallen and carry you to safety. The staff is used to give a nervous or confused sheep comfort and peace. Didn't Jesus, when he left, he said, I'm going to leave you the comforter? Hallelujah, y'all. By letting them know, the shepherd is right there with them and will never leave them nor forsake them. A shepherd never leaves his sheep. He sleep with him. He eat with him. He walk with him. He talk with him. Hallelujah. Same way Jesus is what with us. Jesus is the great shepherd, and we must become his sheep. God has provided everything that we need and everything necessary for us to live a righteous life. And he will see us through if we follow his lead. In verses 5 and 6, it said, Thou prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I told you this is a personal thing, y'all. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you know that, where's all of the worrying and strife and confusion is coming from? You see, in the Eastern culture, it was mandatory to anoint your guests with fragrant oil. The host was expected to protect his guests at all costs. See, back then it was a thing. Somebody came to your house, you have to protect them. You remember when Lot was at home and the angels came to his house to tell him what God wanted him to know, and the people, you know, in the town, you know, were horrible. And the men came to the house to get the men they saw go in Lot's house because they wanted to be with him. And Lot knew it will be, you know, on his head if a guest in his house, come on, y'all, will come into danger. You got to know that about the story with Lot, because so many don't understand. He told him, he said, look, I got two daughters that never been with men. He said, take my daughters and leave my guests. That's how important it was to protect. I guess Lot thought if they was with his daughters, it would be the less of two evils. You see, God offered the protection of a host even in the presence of your enemies. He can make your enemies your footstool. Y'all know that's word. God allows the word to see what he is doing with his own. Don't the word say, let your light so shine? You know, they say, oh, I can see God in you. Should be our goal by the things we do, how we do it, why we do it, when we do it. You see, many things that your enemy tried to do to you, God turned it around for your good. And they can't even figure it out. You see, the table in this parable, I'm letting you know that table that he's talking about, prepare the table. That table is prepared for you. God prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He said it in a word. But the table is prepared, but will you take the time to eat? God is saying, look, I got you. Follow as I lead. You see an anointing in here. You know, the favor of God is anointing. So the favor, every time you receive favor in your life, favor is when God touched the hearts and minds of others to do something for you that you need done. That's called favor. You see, the favor of God anoints your head and make your cup run it over. You see, when your cup runs over is when there's more than enough. I could ask you tonight, how many pair of shoes do you have? You could only wear one pair at a time. How many dresses? Some of y'all have more than one cause. And some of y'all have more than one house, and you could only live in one. You see, God is a God of more than enough. He said, I will pour you out blessing, you won't have room to receive them. You see, but we must cooperate with God to receive his many blessings, and we have to be in position to receive some of those blessings. But he will pour you out blessings. As I said a little while ago, where you won't have room to receive him. But you got to trust him. You see, here we see that God has prepared a well-thought-out plan for you and me before the foundation of the world. You see, in his plan, all provisions, protections, needs, and guidance is included. He had a total package that he bestowed on us. And it's up to us to unwrap it and use it and hold on to it and cherish it and be thankful for it. But you got to check it out. And it's in the word of God. You see, everything written and all of his promises are there for you. You don't know some of the promises God has for you because you never took time to check out the package. God will allow us to be tested so that the situation could bring us to maturity. He's trying to help us to grow, and he uses it to show others, talking about our enemies, the mercy and the grace he bestowed upon us. But he's always working it out for your good. You see, God wants us to sit at the table and be his invited guests. He wants us to eat and taste and see that it is good. The Bible says, sweeter than the honey of a honeycomb. When we look at Jesus as the chief shepherd and we become his sheep, the scripture says, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. It's not to say that there will be no hard times of despair adversities, trials, or tribulation, but it's never what comes our way, but who we go through them with. Just because you love the Lord, you are not exempt from times of trouble. You see, the perfect shepherd promise, which is Jesus Christ, to guide and to protect us through life and to bring us to his house forever. I got to tell y'all, Jesus is coming back for his sheep. And no matter what the question is in your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you've been, no matter where you need to be, no matter what the question is, God has the answer. And you see, Jesus and God always talks about our eternal life because he tells us that this life here is only a vapor. It's a short time. It seems long to us because, you know, man might live to 100. You know, somebody said on the TV said somebody was 130. But in God's eye, that's very short. But eternity is going to be forever. So God is working and doing everything and preparing a place for us, as this said, for us to go with them on the other side. But he knew until we get there, we have to live in this world. The Bible teaches us that we are in the world, but we are not of the world, and we are part of God's kingdom on earth. And it's trying to teach us how to be a good citizen in the kingdom of God, loving on and caring for one another, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Come on, y'all. Doing unto others as we wish was done unto us. Whenever you see a need, help. Whenever there is a shortage, give. So the word of God is trying to let us have the greatest success in the kingdom, which is the preparing and stepping stone for us before eternity. It's getting us ready for eternity. Believe it. Because when we got saved, God could have just took us up and brought us straight to heaven, and all of this wouldn't even be necessary. But it's a preparation. It's giving you the opportunity to realize how to live in the kingdom and to realize who he really is. And to anticipate his coming. And as I close tonight, our ultimate goal is to be with Jesus, where we will live eternally with him. But until that time comes, we must be as sheep and allow the shepherd to lead, and we follow. God said, it is not on you. I got you. Trust and obey my word. God also let us know that these battles are not ours. They belong to him. God used the analogy of a helpless, defenseless, frightened sheep, and Jesus as a powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at the same time, God, full of grace and mercy, to let us know that even though we are weak, he is strong. And yes, we are powerless, but he has all power in his hand. God never expected us to make it on our own. Never, never, ever. We can do nothing in and of ourselves without him. Learn to follow God's and allow him to lead you, and you'll never go wrong. I'm not talking every day of be a bed of roses, but you could have that joy, because a lot of people trying to be happy, and happy only happens when something you want to happen happens. But joy is with staying tall in the midst of a storm, when you get the bad news, when you get the disappointing facts, when you up against the wall and can't move, and you could cry out to the all-knowing good shepherd, Jesus Christ, and you could have peace at that time. When you get through out of that situation, you ain't going to even know how you held it together, because that's God in the inside working on the outside. Hallelujah. Jesus is our shepherd and so much more. And if you believe and keep the faith, he will see you through. Please allow Jesus, our shepherd, lead you in all your ways through prayer and supplication, making your requests known. And he will then direct your path. And I close with tonight, do you trust him? That's our lesson for tonight. And if anyone would like to say anything, I have a caller, their button was pressed earlier, but look like they have hung up. But if anybody would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic for you. If anyone would like to pray, if anyone would like to add anything to the lesson or give words of encouragement or say, you know, what the lesson means for them, is the Lord their shepherd, or whatever you may want to say, you could press the one button at this time. And I'll open the mic. Anyone would like to pray? God is extending the opportunity. Well, that's our lesson for tonight. And I know we all like to have a prayer for people. I have a list of names that was given to me to give to you guys, because I guess they figure, you know, if we touch and agree and we pray one for another and others, that, you know, God will see it through. So some of the names that I have on the list, I don't know if you guys write them down. I don't know if you try to memorize them, or if you just, when you pray, you know, ask God for the request made on the words of wisdom Wednesday night Bible study, you take it to the throne of grace. But the names of the people are Esther Lucas, Mary McMillan, Derek McBride, the family of Mary Hughes, who has passed away, and Gladys Phillip. So those are some names, those are the names that have requested prayer from you guys. You know, they say, can you put it on your program to pray for these people? So I'm going to say the names one more time, and we're going to go ahead and close. The name of the people that are in need of prayer is Esther Lucas, Mary McMillan, Derek McBride, the family of Mary Hughes, because Mary Hughes passed away, and Gladys Phillips. So that's our program for tonight, and we're going to go ahead on and close with a benediction. If anyone have a benediction, you could press the one button and give that to us as well, because y'all know I say the same one all the time, because I think it is so important. So what I want to say tonight is I pray that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I ask the Lord, keep us till we meet again. I ask for protection for you and your family. I pray for health for you and your family. I pray for financial blessings. We're fixing to enter the Christmas holiday, and from what I understand, some people get real depressed around this time for many reasons. You know, and if you want names to be called out on a program and, you know, you don't feel comfortable pressing a button, you could send me a text and I'll add the people to the list going forward because we have to pray for one another. So that's our program for tonight. Remember to keep praying for Wednesday night Bible study. Praying that someone that need to hear a word would call in. Because in a lesson we taught the other night, it said that Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And we have to lift him up. And I ask that each and every one of you find a way to lift Jesus up. Shed a word. Because Jesus can't come back till everybody's heard it. And all of us have a part. And each one of us are only being taught that we will begin to teach. And that's the lesson for tonight. And it is my prayer that each and every one of you be blessed and all of them blessings that you're in need of. I want you to know that I love you. I love you. And so does God. And with that being said, good night. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back next week. Same time, same number. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.